What's up and welcome in to Good Karma Wrestling right here on YouTube and on podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago, Gabe Neitzel with the day off, and boy, what a time for him to be off because wrestling is red hot. Coming off of that weekend, let me tell you, bro, we had a lot of wrestling to watch and a lot of product, and it's great for all wrestling fans because just like ice cream, there are a lot of flavors.
That's why Gabe needs the time off. There was so much wrestling this weekend. He needs to relax now. I mean, Great American Bash took place. Like, he's going to kick his feet up for a week.
Great. So don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. We do on YouTube, youtube.com, Good Karma Wrestling. Also on Twitter, X, at GKW_wrestling, and Instagram, Good Karma Wrestling as well. We appreciate how you are helping us grow every single week here on Good Karma Wrestling. So make sure, if you enjoy it, make sure you share it with other great wrestling fans. There's so much to get to, including hearing from the CEO and president of All Elite Wrestling. We'll hear from Tony Khan. And, of course, with Tony Khan, the one thing that you're going to find out in that interview is that Tony Khan and AEW can be found on TBS, TNT, and on HBO Max.
That's right.
If you didn't know that before, you're going to find out in this interview that they're definitely on HBO Max.
And they're taking over Chicago for 3 weeks. But yeah, the CEO, a pretty big name to have on with us.
Absolutely. So look forward to that conversation with Tony Khan. But we got a lot of stories we got to get to. So let's go to the feature story for Good Karma Wrestling this week.
One of the reasons we had such a full weekend is because it was AEW All In. But then WWE decided they wanted to run some shows also. Evolution 2, Saturday Night Main Event, NXT Great American Bash. And guess what? It's happening again August 24th. AEW Forbidden Door, also an NXT show. So the question is, should WWE continue to counter-program AEW?
Okay, so the best way for WWE to beat AEW is to have better shows. I mean, they're Raw and they're SmackDown and NXT, because what they're doing right now to me is trying to divide the wrestling fan base, and that's just not happening. There's a difference between what Vince McMahon and Jim Crockett were doing, where Vince wanted to step on what Jim Crockett was doing, the NWA, versus now. Because here's the thing about over the weekend. So here's what I did. I watched AEW All In. NXT is on the other channel, so I'm watching that on a second screen, right? Sure. So I'm watching, I can watch both at the same time. Or I could have just watched all of All In and then go back and watch the Great American Bash, or be able to watch Saturday Night's Main Event. But the idea that they thought that they were going to take away from the AEW audience is nonsense. I just think that Triple H is hustling backwards, bro. I really do, because, like, look, if you're going to watch AEW, you're going to watch. You're not going to say, oh, my God, NXT is on. I got to watch this matchup, this Falls Count Anywhere matchup in a small, stage arena, center stage in Atlanta. I just think that Triple H is doing it wrong. I do. You're not, while AEW is thriving, you're not going to stop it by throwing shows against the company, against AEW. So I think he's doing it completely wrong.
Yeah, I agree. And also, when you're WWE, and we've talked about a lot on this show, they have the legacy. They have the history, that you have lineage. You have fans that are passing along their children. They're always going to have that. It makes them look worse when they're counter-programming. And honestly, it makes AEW more legit when they're like, oh, we need to run a show against it. We saw it a couple years ago where they put NXT on Wednesdays. They lost that battle. Then all of a sudden, AEW has to move to some Tuesdays. And Hunter's response is like, well, Taker's going to be on, NXT. And The Rock's going to be on NXT. It's like, well, I thought they don't matter. I thought they're a pissant company.
Right.
He is making them that much more legit every time he does something like this.
I don't understand why this is the need to do this at every turn, though.
Right.
So they're going to try to counter program AEW, and AEW continues to get better and better. There's no doubt in my mind it's a better company today than it was 9-10 months ago. They streamlined their storylines. They're getting stronger, while WWE is still great, but they become stagnant after the Bloodline story. So I just feel like in a lot of ways Triple H is taking his eye off the ball. Mm-hmm. And I just think that ultimately it's about WWE business. Vince McMahon for a long time ignored the competition. And he did it because he says, I got to take care of my own house. I can't worry about what TNA is doing and all these other companies. They're irrelevant to me. I got to make sure that my company is strong. And so I just, you are correct when Triple H says that AEW is not relevant. They are the challenger brand. No one's right. Some have them as number one, but we know they're a challenger brand. So do you think that Pepsi stays up at night worried about Coke? Do you think Wendy's right. and Burger King are like, oh my God, those golden arches, we can never beat them? They ain't worried about it because they have their own business.
I mean, yeah, like we've seen it play out, and I'm not saying WWE is in that boat yet, but Shivani's saying, oh, don't flip over to Raw because, you know, Mick Foley's winning the title. Like right. that has backfired. Like we've seen that backfire in our lifetime, and Hunter just doesn't care. And to your point about the good shows, like Evolution 2 was great on Sunday because, like you've said before, like the talent, once they're in the ring, they're going to push all that stuff aside. They yeah. don't care that the build wasn't good, that it was thrown together, that Beyonce was in town. They delivered on Sunday night. But if that show had some time and it wasn't just a counter program idea, maybe that show could have been that much better. But yet somehow all they see are the dollar signs and they don't care about stuff like that.
I just, you're not beating AEW and putting them out of business this year. I mean, we're going to see what happens with the streaming deal that AEW has and see if it's going to extend out mm-hmm. to Warner Brothers Discovery or if they'll go someplace else. But the point is, though, is that they have the best wrestlers on the planet. It's a deep roster, bro. It's the best roster in wrestling. Yep. And many of those wrestlers can't even get on TV. That's how vast that roster is. And so because of that, they have a lead in that regard. But WWE, as you mentioned, has this lineage. So why do you have to try to play from behind when you're the leader? Right. When you continue to do this, you feel like that you're not the leader anymore. And ratings aside, when they have their big PLEs, not only just in America, but also internationally, hey, man, they're selling out. They're doing really well because it's the popular, cool brand. It is.
Yeah.
So I just I'm really dismayed by this because they're trying to split an audience that won't be split.
Right. And also because like they are different at this point. I know we saw maybe a little slight turn back to professional wrestling in the WWE world, but they are sports entertainment. Like we're going to get some gems once in a while in terms of pure wrestling, but they are different products right now to where, like you said, you're not, you know, substituting. You're not like, well, I'm watching Saturday Night Main Event, so I'm not going to watch All In. Like they are different things. You're watching Saturday Night Main Event for the spectacle that is Goldberg having to go more than 5 minutes. You're yeah. watching All In for 6-star matches all night. Like, they're different products, and that's where we're at right now.
I know that we're in a wrestling war. I get that. But you know what we haven't seen in a while? This full exchange of talent.
Yeah.
That's gone across the board. Like, Blake Monroe now, you knew she was leaving AEW to go to WWE. That's fine. But you're not getting the big splashes anymore. Like, I think AEW has settled in and go, have you seen our roster?
Right.
We don't have to add a whole bunch of former WWE guys right now or women. We're good where we are. And same thing with WWE. So I just feel like this past weekend was unnecessary on the part of WWE. Completely unnecessary. You mentioned Beyonce. We should talk about this. And if this is AEW, you and I will be raking AEW over the poles. Don't you understand the calendar? Have you seen a sports calendar? Have you seen an event calendar? They're in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Black Hollywood. and so Beyonce's in town. Where do you think all of the attention is going to be? but yet you ran there. And, you know, Sunday's show was good. Mm-hmm. Evolution was good. But the booking was not great. The lead up was not great. You go to center stage, where there is no environment, 700 people, I think they barely sold that out, and the matches were substandard. That was not a good NXT show by every measure. I'm watching yeah. that while I'm watching All In. I'm like, this isn't good.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. Like, looking at the card, I was like, yeah, there's nothing I need to see there. Like, I know people have raved about the Paige match, but, like, we've seen him and Stark together a bunch. Like, it's like, all right, like, I'm fine skipping that. Like, there's only so much you can watch on a weekend.
It was not good. So I watched it and just like, okay, but Beyonce's in town. We got to get to that. Mm-hmm. Beyonce's in town. You know, this is usually booked 6 to 8 months in advance. So you put it in Atlanta anyway and try to jam it in there because Goldberg had to have his retirement match. But that, you know, you could have had actually more people in Atlanta going to the event to be able to see this if Beyonce's not in town. It's just very busy during that time. All-Star for the Major League Baseball yeah. is the following week. So they're preparing for that. So I just think a mistake by Triple H. hey, do they can wrestle how they want to wrestle, book how they want to book. What I'm telling you is that WWE has its own fandom. You don't have to oppose AEW at every turn to decide, oh, you know, now we're got them. You don't have them because they're thriving too.
Yeah, that's the weird part. And again, we'll see it next month. Like on Forbidden Door Day, they randomly, coincidentally have an NXT show that day as well.
You're not beating them with the third brand, by the way. That used to be a thing. You're not beating NXT with your beating AEW with your third brand.
Right, especially because when NXT was at its hottest, it's because a lot of the guys and girls that are in AEW were there. It was our fix. It was our pro wrestling fix. It was the what we get with AEW is what we got in Black and Gold NXT, because there was so much sports entertainment that Tuesday nights and those NXT PLEs were like, oh, this is what I like as a wrestling fan. That's not this NXT.
Kind of hurt Sean in some ways.
100%.
Kind of hurt Sean. So, I'm dismayed by that. But listen, all in all, we had a great wrestling weekend because there was so much product out there. But we got other stories we got to get to as well, Brian.
That's right. We talked about the success of AEW. They're taking over Chicago for 3 weeks. And earlier this week, Jay Hood and I had the opportunity to talk AEW CEO Tony Khan.
Glad to have you with us in Good Karma Wrestling, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago. And Brian, of course, the A-Town's going to get the very best, All Elite Wrestling, right? You would think, oh, the hot story in Chicago, Cubs first place, Bears upcoming season. No. You know what the hot story is? All Elite Wrestling lands in Chicago for a great amount of shows at Byline Bank Aragon Ballroom. Dynamite and Collision is going to be there. Residency happening in an A-town like my hometown. As we turn to the CEO and president of All Elite Wrestling, Tony Khan is back with us here on Good Karma Wrestling. Tony, as always, we appreciate the time.
It's great to see you both. Thanks for having me on with you. I'm excited about tonight, Wednesday night Dynamite, tonight, live on TBS and HBO Max and here in Chicago.
Listen, I know you're always repping Champaign, Urbana. Okay, I know that's where, but you're really Chicago, Tony. Well, you know, like that, this is your city.
I'm this here is in my your parents' town. House. I'm sitting in my dad's office in front of a Chagall, doing this here with you in Chicago in my dad's office at home. So it's great.
2 weeks in Chicago, Tony. From a work standpoint, how does it make things easier and make the product better to have a home base like Chicago for 2 weeks?
Well, 3 weeks. We're going to be here for 3 weeks. 3 weeks, six shows in 3 weeks, to your point, Brian. It's going to be great. We've been bringing that Daily's Place mentality that served us so well over the years on the road, that classic AEW feel. And right now, AEW is the best it's ever been. And I think right now it's perfect timing to come to a city that's so important to AEW. And we're having six shows across the next 3 weeks, starting tonight. It's going to be standing room only now tonight at the Aragon Ballroom. But if you want to come see AEW in person, I highly recommend coming tomorrow. There's great seats also available tomorrow for Thursday night for the AEW Collision event at Aragon Ballroom. But tonight, it's still some standing room seats. And I highly also recommend checking the show out tonight on HBO Max or on TBS. It's on TBS. We've been on TBS for years. Now we're also streaming on HBO Max. It's one of the many reasons that we're having, I think, the best AEW year ever right now in 2025. Thanks to the great fans checking the shows out live and in person here in Chicago and watching every week on TBS, the Superstation, TBS, and HBO Max.
Tony, I said on the show that I feel like when you're putting shows together that you want all of us to raise a level of where you are as a fan. Not like wrestling, not kind of love wrestling, but really, really love wrestling. And I think that the big test, litmus test was All In and also ROH Supercard of Honor. Awesome shows. Where do you place this past weekend versus others in AEW history?
It's certainly my favorite weekend in the history of AEW. I think it's our biggest and best event ever. And it's our biggest show we've ever done in terms of the biggest crowd and best ticket sales ever in North America. And here on our home continent where we've established AEW, we've really built our biggest event ever. And also the place where we've had our most success, which is also now a home to AEW, is the UK. We've had 81,000 fans at Wembley Stadium. We'll be back at Wembley Stadium next year. London is so important to AEW. also a home to AEW. But here in North America, this show we did, AEW All in Texas, is the biggest and most excitable, passionate show we've ever done in so many ways. And it was the culmination of so many great rivalries and the beginning of new rivalries. And it's all going to kick off tonight on Wednesday Night Dynamite here in Chicago. And the shows are just going to be so awesome and build for the next 3 weeks. We're going to have such great support in Chicago, and going from the big packed stadium to the big venue that I think, even though it's not the largest venue in size, the passion, the excitement in a packed house in the Aragon Brawl Room is going to be awesome. And it's going to be a fun time in the ballroom. It's going to be truly a ballroom blitz. It's going to be something very, very special to have AEW coming to Chicago from the Aragon Ballroom, a packed house, and on in over 150 countries watching AEW all over the world. It's been our best year ever, and thanks to the great fans watching AEW every week, we've been able to put on not only the best pay-per-views in wrestling like we've been doing for many years, but also I think having our best run week-to-week of television right now across Dynamite and Collision, which are both going to be here, both shows every week for the next 3 weeks here in Chicago. You can get your tickets now at AEWTIX.com.
We've talked a lot on this show about how AEW is just clicking right now. It's hot. Everything's working. From your perspective, why are things working so well right now?
We have the best roster of wrestlers in the world. I love working with the top talent, and we have such great fans that are supporting the show. And the support is really built and built. We've made new fans. We've never streamed before live week to week for the shows here in America. Now we've got HBO Max as a great partner, but also on TBS on Wednesday nights, like tonight on AEW Wednesday Night Dynamite tonight. Every Wednesday night, we've been consistently growing and building the audience over the past few quarters on TBS. And also for Saturday Night Collision on TNT, which is actually going to be Thursday this week here in Chicago, we've been building that audience on TNT. So the last few quarters, you know, we saw Q4, we started streaming the show, and people thought it might cannibalize, take away from the cable audience, but we actually built Q4 to Q1 2025 went up, and then we just ended Q2 at the end of this past month, June, and we saw Q2 was up from Q1 on both TBS Wednesday nights, like tonight, and TNT on the weekend. So we've really got something really special going. We've grown our cable audience, which is always awesome to have a success story on cable in 2025. And we're doing our best run of shows on TV. I think the wrestlers, the crew of wrestlers we're using right now is awesome. And it's like a sports team. You can only use so many people at once. We have a really deep roster. And when people have gotten injured, other people have stepped up. And that's how wrestling works. I know that there's other people that aren't on the show this week necessarily or next week that in time as people get injured or things change that are going to step into important roles. And that's what a deep bench is about. And right now AEW has our tightest, best, most focused roster of wrestlers. I think AEW has the best top to bottom roster. And I think that AEW is where the best wrestle. And we're going to show that tonight on TBS and HBO Max and live right here in Chicago this week for AEW Wednesday Night Dynamite and Collision.
And Collision. Yes, don't forget Collision. ROH is going to have some shows, though, too, right? There's going to be some matches. Don't forget about them. ROH.
Absolutely. But ROH is doing some great stuff coming off of Supercard of Honor. It's a great show. We love filming the ROH shows because ROH is a smaller promotion. It has a great history. It doesn't necessarily have the budget or the resources of AEW, so it's great collaborating the companies, having the great ROH championships and champions and some of the top ROH stars also participating in the AEW shows and then having collaboration between the companies, including filming some of the ROH TV here at some of these Collision events. And there's been great feature from ROH, including the dominant women's world champion, Athena, the winner of the Women's Casino Gauntlet match at AEW All in Texas, the first ever Women's Casino Gauntlet match on pay-per-view in AEW. And Athena, the hometown villain, was the winner. And here she's coming now to Chicago with a guaranteed shot at the AEW Women's World Champion, which right now is Timeless Toni Storm, who just had an absolutely fantastic match in a battle of, in my opinion, two of the GOATs in women's wrestling and all of wrestling, two of the top stars, Mercedes Moné, the TBS champion, and the world champion, Timeless Toni Storm, who retained the title in a fantastic match at AEW All in Texas, which was an incredible show top to bottom. And that was one of the top matches, just a fantastic show we had. And it's going to all set up for a great night tonight on Wednesday Night Dynamite, tonight on TBS and HBO Max.
Brian, you got to get this app, man. You got to get the ROH. You got to get it, man.
Like I don't have it.
I'm just you got to get it, Brian.
WatchROH.com, the Honor Club app. It's yes. Fantastic. There's so much great wrestling on it.
All there right, put it down. No one wants your screenshot.
It's got it. It's great. There's great wrestling on it. And
yes.
Tina defended the title after several years as champion. She retained the championship. Now she's got a guaranteed shot at the AEW Women's World title. She had a great match against Thunder Rosa as part of the big double main event, as well as the Ring of Honor World Champion Bandido retained the title in a classic match against Kazuchika Takeshita. An incredible match. The former AEW International Champion Takeshita heading to New Japan Pro Wrestling for the G1 Climax. And Takeshita is a great, great star in the world of wrestling, a former AEW International Champion, and came very close to winning the ROH World Championship from Bandido, who is having just an incredible run in 2025 all over the world in AEW, ROH, and in CMLL, where he's also become a top star, a favorite, and had great matches in Arena Mexico, including the recent AEW Grand Slam Mexico, which is a huge success for AEW. Our most watched episode of Wednesday Night Dynamite in a very long time, in the past year, and then some, in some of the key demographics in over a year. And one of the most successful events we've ever promoted in collaboration with our great partners, CMLL, the top Lucha Libre promotion and the oldest wrestling company in the world, CMLL, based in Mexico City. And AEW, we just made our debut in Mexico and have the great fans in Mexico supporting AEW. And great fans here in America that watch that show of Wednesday Night Dynamite, Grand Slam Mexico on TBS and on HBO Max.
You know, one of the reasons why, as we talked to Tony Khan here on Good Karma Wrestling, Jonathan and Brian with you, don't forget AEW in Chicago, the A-Town, Brian, the Aragon Ballroom, July 16th, 17th, 23rd, 26th, 30th, and 31st, AEWTIX.com for tickets. You know why it was successful? Besides the wrestling, you know what, Tony? The reason why it was successful is because of a unique venue. Like a lot of American viewers have never seen the venue that you're in. And so I want to ask you about, you know, some of these unique venues. I think a lot of arenas, as you well know, around the country can be cookie cutter. You can't distinguish one from the other. But when you went to Boston, when you went to Cleveland, Sacramento, Phoenix, here at the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago, these are unique venues. And I think that's really cool for the viewer to see. Where are they? Boy, this crowd's hot. My God. So what went into that planning to be able to make that shift in that regard?
I think it's been really exciting. It's just a collaborative effort from the team. I really wanted to have Dynamite and Collision in some exciting venues. And that's a very astute point by you, Jonathan. We are running some really cool venues, including tonight here in Chicago, the Aragon Ballroom, starting this thing that's going to be so special with AEW here in Chicago for several weeks, celebrating AEW Dynamite and AEW Collision both being here. We're here twice a week for the next 3 weeks. You can get tickets to all the shows at AEWTIX.com or watch starting tonight AEW Wednesday Night Dynamite on TBS and HBO Max. These venues, including here in Chicago, the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City.
Yeah.
You mentioned great venues, including Sacramento, Phoenix. Cincinnati has a very cool location that we'll be going back to again. And I think there's a number of other ones along the way, too, like you said, that are very unique, intimate venues with packed crowds that are just on top of the ring. And that makes for really exciting viewing. We had a great home venue that we have run many times, Daly's Place. And now being back on the road, it's great to bring that same exciting energy where fans are right on top of the ring to all these packed houses.
Brian, ultimately, it's when as a viewer, you want to feel like you want to be there. It's like, well, I've never seen that before. I've never seen that venue before. Like, man, that crowd's hot. I want to be there. So that's, I think, what AEW provides. Yeah.
Yes. Whether it's Globe Life Field in Texas, our biggest crowd ever this past weekend, biggest crowd in 6 years of AEW was this past weekend, the biggest one we've ever had in North America at Globe Life Field, and our biggest crowds ever and most successful shows also have been in London, the great UK fans supporting AEW at Wembley Stadium for AEW All In, and now coming to a great home for us in Chicago where we've had great pay-per-views and we're going to have 3 weeks of great AEW TV, two shows a week starting tonight here in Chicago, Wednesday Night Dynamite live on TBS and HBO Max tonight.
You know, the one low light of the weekend, the Adam Cole news comes out. He relinquishes the title, talks about his injury. How did that come to be? And what was that like backstage in that moment this weekend?
Well, it was really challenging. I had just come from the ROH show and Adam Cole was planning to wrestle and defend the championship. And it was actually very early Saturday morning, technically. I was just getting to bed for a few hours. I was planning to sleep, and it didn't really work out that way because, unfortunately, we had to make major changes, and I had to spend the night really thinking about how to make it up to the fans and to treat Adam Cole with respect that he has earned and that he deserves. And I knew that it would be the right thing for Adam Cole, and it was what he wanted to do, too. To go out and speak to the fans from his heart and explain that he wouldn't be able to wrestle. The only thing I disagreed with is one of the first things he said. I don't think at all that he let people down. I don't think anybody's hurt or while we're all sad, I think that Adam Cole, everyone knows, does his best. And if he could have wrestled, he would have gone out there. So even though we are all sad, we don't get to see Adam Cole wrestle for a while. Hopefully he will be able to return in some capacity, but definitely he needs time off after talking to him. And I made the call late night, early morning, Saturday, very early, just after I'd gotten back from the ROH pay-per-view event at the Esports Stadium. I was there late working and planning ahead to the pay-per-view the following afternoon. And then early in the morning, as I was getting planning to get a few hours of sleep, I had that conversation. It was a hard conversation, but I'm glad he told me the truth that he just didn't feel well and he was having trouble sleeping. He didn't feel good and he was having just not feeling like it would be a good idea for him to wrestle. And I agreed with that. And it was the right thing to do to make the changes we made. And Adam Cole gave a great speech to the fans. They embraced him. He's a great popular star, beloved by the wrestlers and by the fans. He's not only been a top wrestler in every company he's been in, but he's been a leader in the locker room in every promotion that he's ever wrestled in. And Adam Cole's beloved in AEW and by the fans of AEW around the world, as we saw when he was embraced in the UK in front of 81,000 fans at Wembley Stadium and on the huge original AEW All In, or here at AEW All In Texas, or even when we went to Grand Slam Mexico and the fans were all behind Adam Cole in Mexico City as the TNT champion. It was very fitting that he came out and spoke to the fans. Of course, he had to relinquish the TNT championship, but then it was great to see a longtime fan favorite, Dustin Rhodes, win after so many close chances to the TNT championship. We've seen Dustin come close against Lance Archer in the original tournament for the TNT title and against great TNT champions that had defended the title against Dustin, and he had so many close calls against the late, great Mr. Brody Lee, possibly the greatest champion ever in AEW. The late, great Mr. Brody Lee defended the TNT title in September of 2020 against Dustin in Daly's Place in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Of course, former TNT champion Sammy Guevara, who was in this match as well and also wrestled with Dustin three times in 24 hours as part of the Ring of Honor tag team champions and then both competing for the TNT title that Sammy has held three times. And Dustin ended up winning it for the first time ever. And Sammy had beaten Dustin in a championship match before in Charlotte. And also Christian Cage, one of the great TNT champions and one of the greatest wrestlers, in my opinion, of all time, also had defended the title last year against Dustin Rhodes on Wednesday Night Dynamite. So so many times Dustin had come close challenging for the championship. It was very fitting. Finally, in his home state with his nephews and his partners, Sammy Guevara, of course, on not on the winning end of this match, but there to see it. And the Von Erich boys are there to celebrate and hoist Dustin Rhodes up along with his nephews on their shoulders to celebrate in Texas, one of the great wrestlers who's been a champion in so many great companies and one of my childhood heroes. I was so happy to see him have this moment. It was unexpected for many reasons, but in the wake of the very sad news about Adam Cole, I'm glad that we had a great moment, a storybook upset that nobody could have predicted. So Dustin Rhodes is now the TNT champion, and it's a really special thing. Dustin Rhodes is a great person. Talk about somebody who also is very respected in the locker room and has been a respected veteran in every locker room he's been in for decades. And one of the first wrestlers I ever saw when I was a young child and somebody I've followed since I was a young boy across multiple promotions. And I'm glad now he's been a champion, not only a double champion in ROH, but now finally in AEW as the TNT champion. Dustin Rhodes, a man who wrestled when I was a child on the Turner Networks, challenging for the TV title on TBS, and of course later wrestling on TNT. I just think now, decades later, to have Dustin Rhodes, decades after he had wrestled on TBS and TNT, to come back as the TNT champion, that's a special storybook thing, and only in pro wrestling, and only with a man like Dustin Rhodes who's had such longevity, it's a special, special thing.
So, you know what, Tony? It's probably the most emotional segment in the history of AEW. Think about on one end with Adam Cole, right, makes an announcement. The fans didn't know. And obviously, we're crying and we're emotional about it because you can see the emotion on Adam Cole's face, the guys from Paragon. They're also emotional. And then on the other end, here's Dustin Rhodes, who probably was definitely not the favorite to win because of, like you mentioned, the workload from over the weekend. And he wins the championship and he's crying and his family comes in. It probably is in the most emotional segment that you've been able to put together. I know unforeseen circumstances on the front end, but on the back end, Dustin wins. I don't think we've ever seen that before.
No, it was an incredible thing. Certainly in the history of AEW, pay-per-view had to be one of the most emotional segments. I think the most emotional segments ever probably on television have come the tribute show to the late, great Mr. Brody Lee, the aforementioned legendary TNT champion who Dustin Rhodes had fought before for the title, and Mr. Brody Lee had retained the title on Wednesday Night Dynamite 5 years ago in Jacksonville. Certainly the Mr. Brody Lee tribute show and our tribute to the late, great Jay Briscoe when Jay Lethal wrestled Mark Briscoe. That was a very emotional thing. Of course, Mark Briscoe will be part of a huge six-man tag match tonight on Wednesday Night Dynamite. That was the beginning of Mark Briscoe in AEW. It came in a very emotional way. And I love Mark Briscoe, and I love his brother, the late, great Jay Briscoe, who I think about every day. It's really been very hard to lose those two great champions. Jay Briscoe, ROH Hall of Famer, and we paid great tribute to him in AEW, and of course the greatest tribute, I think, ever in pro wrestling, the best tribute show to the greatest champion, the late, great Mr. Brody Lee, who we miss every day, and his legacy lives on through the TNT Championship. And of course, like I said, very fitting 5 years later that Dustin Rhodes would break through after he wrestled Mr. Brody Lee for the title, after he was in the semifinals of the original TNT title tournament. His brother Cody Rhodes, the original TNT champion, nearly threw in the towel on Dustin, and Dustin grabbed the towel out of his hand and said no and fought on against Lance Archer, who Cody ended up defeating in the finals to be the first champion. They're the first brothers ever to hold the same championship, singles championship, in AEW. We've had great brother tag teams in AEW, but never two singles wrestlers holding the same title. But in this case, Dustin Rhodes, also somebody with decades of legacy on the Turner Networks, just a great storybook event that came after, as you said, a very emotional speech from the former TNT champion, Adam Cole, one of the most popular wrestlers in the AEW locker room and by the fans.
And Hood, now he's got us waiting patiently for our friend of show, Kyle Fletcher, to eventually get his big title win as well.
I know.
We're still waiting around for that.
I know. I know. He's been a guest on here four times, and he's a great representative for AEW. Yes. He always says something. He's out of his mind.
He's a very exciting star.
Yes.
a great, great wrestler, and he has a great future ahead of him.
Yep.
And he was supposed to challenge Adam Cole one-on-one. Unfortunately for Kyle Fletcher, the odds worked against him. He ended up in a four-way match, and even though he wasn't pinned or defeated in the match, he did not leave as the TNT champion. So certainly that is something to keep an eye on as Kyle Fletcher continues to chase gold in AEW, and he's very focused on championships, including that TNT championship, and certainly going to be very upset with what happened at All In Texas, I know.
Tony, you got your booking sheet with you for Wednesday and Thursday? What? Give us something. Let's talk about some of the matches.
And this is what I can tell you is, in addition to all the great moments we're going to capture and look at going back to AEW All In Texas, we're going to have great wrestling in Chicago starting tonight with the brand new AEW World Champion Hangman Page. And it's the first time we've seen that belt on Dynamite since last year. And Hangman Page has pulled the belt from the briefcase. He's the new champion, but he will stand across the ring from arguably the greatest world champion in AEW's history, the most decorated champion in wrestling today, the former AEW world champion, Jon Moxley. And it will be Hangman Page, the world champion of AEW, teaming with one-third of the AEW World Trios champions, Powerhouse Hobbs, whose partner Samoa Joe was injured by the Death Riders after the Ops retained the title, and another man who has come to war with the Death Riders and has had a lot of interactions with them and some great matches, including one-on-one with Jon Moxley against the Death Riders. And that is Mark Briscoe, somebody who was in the Casino Gauntlet match and has chased the AEW World Championship, chased singles gold in AEW after being a part of one of the greatest tag teams ever in Ring of Honor. And now those three fan favorites, AEW World Champion Hangman Page, Mark Briscoe, and AEW World Trios Champion Powerhouse Hobbs, the three of them are going to come up together and stand tonight face-to-face, three-on-three, against the Death Riders, Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta, and the former AEW World Champion, the former six-time World Champion, Jon Moxley. Hangman and Mox standing opposite each other again in a huge trios match, three-on-three tonight. It's a huge match and so many big events tonight on Wednesday Night Dynamite. And if you can't be there, in the Aragon Ballroom tonight, there's standing room only seats, but I highly recommend checking it out tonight. It starts at 7 p.m. on TBS, Superstation TBS, and HBO Max.
As always, Tony, we appreciate the time. July 16th, 17th, 23rd, 26th, 30th, 31st. You have no excuse but not to be at the Aragon Ballroom for AEW Dynamite Collision and some sprinkles of ROH. Can you break a news? Will a Michael Oku be there? Will he be there? Because hopefully he will be, because I'm already going to wear my Michael Oku hat. So I'm definitely.
Michael Oku had a great match in the beginning, opener of ROH Supercard of Honor, which was a great event. And yes, he had a great match with Etchicero. Michael Oku will be on TV again soon, wrestling Jay Lethal. And that's a match we've shot but haven't aired yet. We haven't we will have Michael Oku back very soon. And also AEW and ROH will be going to the UK for the Forbidden Door event, collaborating with New Japan Pro Wrestling, CMLL, great wrestlers from all over the world coming to the AEW New Japan Forbidden Door show, which will be in London next month.
Tony, as always, I appreciate the time. See this, Broitz? Get yourself a Michael Koku hat. He killed it. That first match,
yes,
our ROH, holy smokes.
He was great. And Michael Koku has a great future in wrestling.
Yeah.
And for fans who aren't familiar with him, check out the match he had with Will Ospreay in London few years ago, last year, actually. It was a fantastic match. It's worth watching for sure. Speaking of Will Ospreay, one of the great wrestlers in the world.
As always, we appreciate your time on Good Karma Wrestling. Please come back.
Oh, absolutely. It's great to see you both. Thanks for having me. And excited about Wednesday Night Dynamite. AEW is on live tonight. Don't miss Wednesday Night Dynamite tonight, 7 p.m. on TBS. And you can stream it on HBO Max or watch it live on TBS, the Superstation.
Great to hear from Tony Khan, the CEO of AEW. And by the way, if you didn't know, Their shows are on TBS, TNT, and on Max.
That's right. And it was tonight, but that was last night. You saw Dynamite Collision tonight. You were in the house last night. It looked great on TV. Pretty cool venue in Chicago.
So I haven't been to Aragon Ballroom in quite some time. It's refurbished. It looks great. And boy, how so much noise in that place, yeah. Right? I don't know how it came across on TV, but it was so noisy. I think the biggest pop of the night is Swerve Strickland. Mm-hmm. I think it's close between Swerve and Hangman Page. But when Swerve came out there, man, everyone's dancing in the aisles, and when his music, and you know you're a star. The first chord of your music hits, and all of a sudden people pop, right?
Right.
So there's Swerve Strickland coming out in his Bobby Heenan suit, and he's out there with the big sparklers. I was like, where's Gorilla Monsoon? He's there with his suit on. But people were very happy to see Hangman Page, too. And the speech that he had, the promo that he cut. And I'm looking at down the rampway, bro, it's the whole time. Like, is someone coming down? Nobody came down. And it was great. The most heat, definitely Don Callis and or the new manager for FTR.
Oh, Stokely. Okay.
Stokely got a lot of heat in that promo with Cope.
Okay.
A lot of heat. Like I don't know what. I guess I was able to glean what Stokely was saying, but I couldn't hear him.
Wow.
That's how loud it was.
Hmm. Well, that's a good thing.
I heard something along the lines of, like, Copeland could be fired or something like that.
Yeah, if he touches FTR, he's fired is the whole premise there.
Yeah, it was so loud, we cannot hear what he was saying because people were booing him out of the building. But that venue holds about 1,200 people. That's perfect. I just want to point this out, because this will get aggregated, I'm sure, when I say this. AEW learned a great lesson from the last time they had a big, major stadium show. You remember the 81,000 plus that they had in the UK for their show? Mm-hmm. Then they came to Chicago, suburban Chicago, at Hoffman Estates, and I was there covering for us for GKW. Yep. I'm like, okay, CM Punk, the whole thing with Jack Perry, man, people are going to be excited about this. 2,500 people at Hoffman Estates, and I'm like, where is everybody? And there was no talk about it. There was no heat about it, nothing. And I said, well, this is a mistake to run this building. Tony Khan was expecting about 8,000 people there. And it was only 25. I had my legs stretched out across the seats. So many empty seats there, right? But they learned. Big crowd in Arlington, over 25,000 people. They wanted to come to Chicago. This time, small.
Yep.
Small place, 1,200 people in the Aragon Ballroom, sold out. And it was a great atmosphere. That's when you learn as a company. AEW is not there yet where they can go from big stadium show to 10,000 seat arena.
Right.
But to have a residency in this arena, I'll go there for a Collision as well during this residency. But I just thought the crowd was just on fire.
Yeah, it was fun to see. And as transition to number two, we saw Hangman as the new world champ. We've talked a lot on the show about the Death Riders. Did the Death Rider story work?
The Death Rider story worked because Hangman Page is champion.
Okay.
Here's how I'll make the case. So this could be a situation where Jon Moxley could be on the side of a ship and then unfurl the banner that says mission accomplished. You know why he could do that, Brian? Is because you remember the impetus of all of this. All of this was, hey, you know what? I don't like the way that the wrestlers are not taking AEW seriously like when they first started.
Right.
Like when it first started, you remember the show's on fire, Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks and like Mr. Brody Lee, all these guys, right? It was great. It was a lot of action and a lot of stories and all this stuff. We'd really enjoyed it. And I think at some point, the wrestling fan was saying that what happened to AEW? It's not as exciting anymore. It's private party here and people playing grab ass there. And Moxley kind of worked the story into it. Like, I want to fix AEW. And so as much as we didn't like the title reign or that whole group, mission accomplished, because the company's better after he relinquished the championship.
Yes, and the moment was awesome on Saturday and the opening of the briefcase. And I've even seen people point out on Twitter, I wouldn't have noticed, the side plates were still Bryan Danielson. Like, so Mox did not update it. Like, it just played into it. Didn't need to go 10 months, though.
No, you'd rather for it to be a little quicker. I mean, look, if you're going to take the title away from Swerve Strickland or from Samoa Joe that quickly,
right?
Why, and you know what was surprising to me on Wednesday night? That the Death Riders are still together.
Yes, and I think most people, when they saw the main event, and Tony talked about it with us, that this was the main event, everyone's assumption was, all right, well, the Death Riders are going to turn on Mox here. But it looks like we're getting Mox and Darby next, and then maybe a Death Rider turn?
Maybe that's the case. I was surprised to see him. I mean, I know that Tony made the declaration of what we're going to see here. I'm like, so they're coming out together, unified? Like,
yeah.
There should be some splinters there of, like, John Moxley lost the championship, so that means he lost his crew. But I guess you can't do two storylines at the same time, because that's happening with Christian Cage right now.
Yeah.
Where he lost his family, right? So I guess it'll be a slow burn with that too. But no, I would say that it is mission accomplished, because think about Moxley being champion. We didn't like the title reign, but all the stuff underneath it got better, didn't it? Don't you think the company is better over the last 8 months?
Oh, 100%. Champion? Like, even last night, which was a good opportunity, they could have thrown matches out there, and we'd be like, well, what's next? Like, there is a lot of stuff, even from that one Dynamite and leading out of All In, where you're like, oh, okay, this makes sense. This is another story here. Like I said, Mox and Darby, Hangman doing it. Like, there still are so many stories where even a Swerve and Okada, like, it's one of those, like, oh, I forgot we could get that match. Like, that's something we probably haven't seen before. You get it out there, and it's like, oh, yeah, I want to see that. Like, they are moving forward. They are focused. We've seen Forbidden Door get them off the tracks before, because all of a sudden they're trying to work out some other companies. But it doesn't feel like that's going to happen this year.
No, and I think that is all credit to Tony Khan. Tony has said on other outlets that you know, he feels like he's taken the playbook away from others in the company, that he's the one controlling it. Well, you know what? Through the good and the bad, give him credit. Give him full credit for what's been going on with AEW.
Yep, no, I agree. So there is that. Elsewhere, we talked about Saturday night's main event. Goldberg, his retirement match. But apparently, Bill not happy with said retirement match. As part of the Ariel Helwani podcast, you know, his retirement speech was cut off. Goldberg very upset about that. Said that would not happen to The Undertaker or John Cena. He also had a quote, "I'm not saying it was done on purpose by any stretch of imagination. I'm saying it wasn't prepared for on purpose. That's all. They wouldn't do that to Taker, right? They're not going to do that to Cena." And then he adds on, "Mine was just a World Heavyweight Championship match. And to be honest, I'm going to catch hell for this. I don't care. I've had World Heavyweight matches all the time. That doesn't do anything for me. It just felt a little eh to me." So who looks worse in this Goldberg situation?
Well, Bret Hart was right.
He is so happy right now. He's enjoying this week so damn much.
Because a lot of the animus that Bret Hart has, I think, for Goldberg was behind the scenes. It's more than the kick. It's more than Goldberg retiring Bret Hart, bro. He did hurt
Charles Robinson on Saturday, though. He cracked a rib there.
So we'll see. See?
Little Nate had to take one from Bill.
Somewhere Ryback feels like he's dangerous. Somewhere Ryback say, "Well, Goldberg really is dangerous."
Yeah.
Of all people. But you know what? If Goldberg looks bad, not that WWE looks bad. Goldberg does not understand network TV. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to last week's show. I said that there would not be a changing of the guard because network TV is too small for Goldberg to win the title.
Sure.
And so I believe that the timing of it had to change because of the Seth Rollins injury.
Yeah.
I do believe that I'm sure the match was supposed to be shorter, but there was added spots to it. And I thought that the match was good. I thought the match for Goldberg at his age and taking abuse and punishment from Gunther is better than I thought it was going to be. You and I had it as a 3-minute match.
Right.
It actually was better, and I thought that it held up pretty well for someone his age. But here's the thing he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand there's time constraints on NBC.
Right.
You had to be out at 10 Eastern. Right. You had to, like, hard out. Like, someone had to go to either their local news or Dateline. It was Dateline in Chicago.
You had to
get to it. So no one, it was not done on purpose. I think the timing of it had to change. I'm doing Hetchicero now with my hands. I don't know why I'm doing that. I don't know why I'm doing that. But for those of the podcast, I'm doing Hetchicero hands for whatever reason. But they had to get out, bro. They had to get out of it because it was the top of the hour. It was not done on purpose to slight Goldberg.
And that's the thing. He's acting like it was Hunter that's like, we've heard enough. Like, next, and, like, hit a button backstage. And then for him to evoke Taker and Cena and Goldberg forgets, like, there still is that animosity. Like, there are WWE lifers. Goldberg, you're not one of those guys. Like, Taker and Cena are those guys. Like, yes, they are going to get that send-off. Sting didn't get a giant send-off. Like, it comes off so bad, and WWE looks bad because they did throw it out there. They forced it down our throats. But Goldberg just coming out. And then also in that interview, he's like, oh, I'm going to have more to say in 2 weeks, which I guess a Legends deal expires then. What the hell else do you have to say? You already shit all over the program this week.
I don't understand that. They did not. This is not one of those things like they did to Sting. Where right. It's like, hey, we're trying to rekindle WWE against WCW. That's not what this was at all. It was Triple H doing you a solid.
Yes.
You Vince didn't give you the retirement match. They gave you a retirement match in your adopted hometown. You know what I was thinking about back of my mind, bro? It's, did he think he was supposed to get over? Did he think he was supposed to win?
No, but then he mentioned, like, oh, I don't really need a title match. Like, I don't know what else he wants. Like, I guess a story. Like, it's very odd.
He's mad because he said, I've never worked out so hard for one match. I'm like, brother, listen, you're almost 60 years old.
Yes.
You took on one of the best wrestlers in the company. You lost. You were going to lose. What do you think next story is going to be? You beating Gunther and then you're supposed to go to SummerSlam?
Right.
And it just keep going and just like get – like you couldn't last in today's wrestling environment to be on the road on every Raw or SmackDown. Like, so, you know what? Brett is right.
Yeah.
I'm tired of him whining. And by the way, WWE doesn't have to owe him anything. Like if he wants to go to Israel, because I've been hearing that as well, going to Israel to have a last match, go ahead. But your last—it's one of these things, Brian, that these wrestlers like Ric Flair and some of these guys at the end—they don't know where the finish line is.
Right.
This is your last match, so deal with it.
And that's the thing. Like it was a gift. Like we talked about it before. Like I remember we first broached the topic. Like, oh, maybe Goldberg here. There are rumors and like. We don't want to watch it. Like, fans weren't into it, and yet you're still going to complain about it. Like, it is baffling when I saw these quotes and then watched back that interview. Like, oh, he's serious. Like, I remember reading the quote. I'm like, all right, that's out of context. Like, Goldberg's not going to rip the company. He got his farewell. And you watch it more. It's like, oh, he is serious. He is somehow pissed off about Saturday night. And, yeah, I think it's the last we've seen of old Bill working for the WWE.
Such an ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they cut you off on purpose. Brother, and they put it on social media afterwards.
Yes, and I think I read it got almost 1 million views. Like, it's there. It's 2025. People can go to social media to watch it.
All right. Next, Brian, I know we got some news and notes we got to get to as well.
Yep, some fallout from All In. Fightful reports Will Ospreay has been working, quote, banged up. Sources believe he will be away for over a month in terms of the calendar. Sunday, August 24th, Forbidden Door in London. Have to imagine he'll be back for that one.
That's the hope, right?
Yeah.
That's the hope.
You need him front and center for that one. So I think we'll be fine there.
Yep.
Talk about some Forbidden Door stuff. PW Insider says there has been internal discussions about AJ Styles making an appearance Sunday at TNA's Slammiversary. The show had to have additional seats added because of the crowd response to this show.
Yeah, it was already a good number of people there, but more people want to see Slammiversary. TNA's hot.
Yeah.
And it just shows you as much as Carlos Silva, the TNA president, says that there's going to be a TV deal soon or streaming deal soon. Even without it, they're drawing a good number. The relationship with WWE works. It's one of the few times that you have a relationship and it actually works in wrestling. So TNA still on the Access TV channel, but yet because of Trick Williams being the TNA champion, Trick and A champion, that works. And this main event should deliver. Joe Hendry, Trick Williams, and Mike Santana. Yeah. That's gonna be fun. So, you know, good for them. I think that's gonna be a great show.
How about guys showing up for work? We saw Roman Reigns Monday night. He's also advertised for Raw this upcoming Monday and the following July 21st and 28th ahead of SummerSlam. So, thanks for coming to work, Roman.
Yeah, and so I like to know what his end game is too. What's on his mind? Is you want championship gold? Is he a mercenary? Like, what's he there for?
I know. I feel like they're going to have to do some pivoting now with the Rollins injury. He's going to be out for a little bit. Like, curious to see what the direction was. We're going to get Gunther and Punk at SummerSlam, but where else are they going now?
They're going with Rollins cashing in at SummerSlam.
Ooh. Injured?
Well, that's a conspiracy theory out there. Like, they want – because, I look, you and I both saw him on the Rich Eisen show, and he explained his injury situation. okay, so there's conspiracy theorists out there that say that he had an injury before the matchup against LA Knight on Saturday Night's Main Event, that he had an injury before, and that was his way out of the match. And so that when he comes back, he's going to cash in at SummerSlam. And I'm saying against who?
Right.
Gunther?
I guess.
Cody's going to beat John Cena possibly. So if he beat Cody or beat Cena at SummerSlam, I don't know what that is. But apparently some say it's been a pre-injury before Saturday Night's Main Event. But who knows?
Yeah. Finally, news and notes. CM Punk revealed in an interview that he had a, quote, handshake agreement with the WWE to make a return around 2018-2019. He says Vince ghosted him, and that's why it fell through. But he did say those meetings helped him and Hunter start to bury the hatchet a little bit for his eventual return.
Ghosted him, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, CM Punk, I thought, after reading that, I was like, boy, you're really gullible. Right? I mean, you had a problem with the dumb son-in-law and Vince and Stephanie and all that, but yet you were still clandestine behind the scenes trying to talk to, well, he was just desperate to get back in. But yeah. I think all is well now because the Millionaire Punk, he's doing very well. He's on all the red carpets. And
he's a company man.
Boy, he still didn't respond to that. It must be true.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got matches of the week. You ready for another half hour?
Oh, man, we have so many to choose from. I guess we have the AEW ROH ones and then others.
Okay, so let's just go through it. So let me just go Io Sky, Rhea Ripley.
Yep, I agree.
Best match at the show on Sunday.
Evolution. So I also will add from Evolution, I love the triple threat match and the creative finish there with Becky, Bayley, and Ira. Like that finish from Becky, that like random backslide, never seen something like that.
Me either. I thought I've seen a lot of wrestling. I never saw that move before.
And then credit also to Monday, the 2 out of 3 falls, Bayley and Lyra.
Very good. I need to go back and watch that again.
That was a good one.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that again. Saints and Paige was the best thing I saw from NXT.
Okay.
That's the only match that I thought was the best. Bandido and Takeshita was the best match in ROH. You saw it.
Yes. I would say, so the ROH show, I watched it Friday night. I invested the $10 in Honor Club. Need to remember to cancel at some point. That match was really good. And Thunder Rosa and Athena that night as well.
I thought so as well. I thought that those are great matches. I thought that just everything from All In, from Storm and Mercedes, I can make the argument that was the best match I saw, and the best spectacle I saw, obviously, was Paige Moxley.
Sure.
And I thought that also the start of the ROH show, I thought that Hechicero and Michael Oku set it on fire at the beginning.
I also will throw out the tag match from All In, the Bucks versus Swerve and Ospreay.
Yeah.
Like, it's a high bar to clear in terms of expectations, but they went and delivered. It was fun. I would have had the Bucks win, not knowing that Ospreay might be banged up, because I think there'd be more storyline there, but still a hell of a match.
I did that. I made that wrong prediction. I thought that there was still money in the Young Bucks, being EVPs. But it's actually funny that they're Titantron has small letters on it. It's just Matt and Jeff. That introduction was so funny. Yeah, on Wednesday, because they get out of a Toyota Camry right in the middle of Chicago. Yeah, yes. Just so great. So
such an amazing weekend of wrestling, though.
Absolutely. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe everything we do on YouTube, youtube.com, Good Karma Wrestling, also on Instagram and on Twitter X at GKW_wrestling. We'll be back next week with another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. And make sure that you tell everybody about our show, Good Karma Wrestling. So for Brian Rowitz, this is Jonathan Hood. So long from the Sunshine State and the land of Lincoln.